It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
It's Monday. I'm sure of that. I am in our studios in a hidden location somewhere outside of Charlotte. I'm sure of that. I'm sure my name is Michael Brown, but I've been flying through the night back from Peru, and I'm not 100% sure about everything else, but we'll have a good show together. Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Connect with me through our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click Contact Us. I've got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about, plus a special bonus, my own beloved son-in-law, Ryan, is in the studio with me. And a little later in the show, we're going to talk about the life of David, having a heart for God, and God's father heart to us. But first, I want to put out a question for you and then share a couple of thoughts after being in Lima, Peru for a few days. What are some of the topics you would like for me to discuss in coming weeks and months here on The Line of Fire? Some subjects you'd like for me to tackle, some issues you'd like for us to discuss, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Folks are already sending in comments on the Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook, so that's a great place to do that as well, AskDR Brown on Facebook. Went down to Peru, flew in on Wednesday. It was kind of funny here, being based in Charlotte. And Lima, Peru, of course, South America is south of North America. If you didn't do well in geography, hopefully you remember that, that South America is south of North America. So how did we fly? Well, we flew to Newark, flew north to Newark, New Jersey. And then it was, I don't know, 8-9 hour flight from there to Lima. So it wasn't bad. But the funny thing is, it was disorienting to me to get off a 9-hour flight and be in roughly the same time zone. Lima, Peru is Central Standard Time. Normally, I'm used to flying 8 hours, 10 hours, 16 hours, 20 hours, whatever, and you're overseas, and it's a different day. It's 6 hours, 15 hours, different, whatever. So it was disorienting not to be disoriented. But something that's amazed me on more than 100 overseas trips now, the Word of God is the Word of God. Truth is truth. The preaching of repentance brings a response. The Holy Spirit's moving is the same. The outward responses of people can vary from culture to culture, but the work of the Spirit is the same. So thanks for praying. We went down there to show solidarity with our Fire Peru missions team there, planting a church. They planted a church, working to support many other churches, and have a tremendous feeding program they're doing. There's a tremendous amount of poverty right outside of Lima. It's really just amazing to see. So we went down to show support with them. But the second night, I preached a repentance-oriented message. We had a large response of people that came forward. The bulk of the people there came forward. And God spoke a simple word to me. He dropped in my heart a mental picture of a child playing in a field, running, jumping, laughing, completely free. And now that person had become a very formal Christian, formal type of minister. They lost their freedom. They lost their joy. They lost the faith they once had. And I said, God wants to help some of you that this is the condition you're in. You used to be so free. You used to be so vibrant. You used to be just like a child running in the field. You've lost that. And maybe you're in ministry now. Maybe you're just a believer in the church. You have become formal. You have lost what you had. I said, only if that picture describes you, only if that is you, I want you to come up here on the platform with me, and we're going to pray for you specifically. The bulk of the people there made their way up onto the platform. As much as I knew it was going to be for a few people, I was shocked. I thought 10, 20 people maybe. I was shocked. And I said, look, only for this. This is the only thing I want you up here for. And people came up on the platform weeping and just getting touched and free from God. It was wonderful to see the Spirit move. It was wonderful to see the depth of repentance. And something else struck me while I was there. I was asked to be on a National Christian television show, and the leader has a real heart for revival and holiness. So we talked about that, but then he has a prayer meeting the next morning after we did the show. I guess it was Saturday morning. He has a prayer meeting, national prayer meeting for revival and holiness. And we went into this theater. I guess it's a church building in a former theater, it looks like. And it was sparsely attended, which was not a surprise. Saturday morning prayer meeting, I didn't expect a lot of people. But it was mainly older believers. Now, I'm sure God's moving among the young people in the country, but it was mainly older believers that had this heart. And I encouraged them that their prayers could make a difference. I talked about the people that prayed for me when I was first saved or prayed me into the kingdom. Older believers, we had no real cultural connection, but they prayed. God brought conviction on me, revealed his love to me, radically changed me. I was encouraging them to do that. At the end of the meeting, we had to leave to get somewhere else to meet with some other people, but they stopped me because they wanted to pray for me. And I think someone posted this picture on a Facebook page, but this little lady, in Peru, you have a lot of folks from the native Indian background, the original inhabitants of the continent there, so you, especially in the mountains, the Inca Indians and things like that. But you can see just looking at a lot of the people that they're not like some of the other South American countries, and each one has a bit of a different mix. This little lady comes up. I mean little. She was an old lady and real little. I mean real little, to the point I knelt down next to her when she prayed for me, and we were about eye level, okay? And I said to myself, I want this woman to pray for me, and I want these older believers to pray for me. It's very easy to look at things after the flesh. It's very easy to think, oh, well, I'm a man of God, or I'm a woman of God, or we have a big ministry. We're from America, whatever. And that is such a wrong way of thinking. Because God doesn't see the way people see. God looks at things differently. God esteems things that we don't, and things that we do esteem often, he doesn't. And I was so blessed to just kneel down next to this woman and have her pray, pour out her heart, praying for me and family and protection and blessing. And it just reminded me of the degree to which we need each other. But thanks for praying. The meetings were solid. We had some great time teaching, ministering to leaders. And if you remember, if you were listening last week, on Wednesday, I did an interview with my colleague Scott Volk on servant leadership, on what it really means to be a shepherd, on team ministry. It was wonderful to get to minister those things to leaders there in the context of real life experience, not theory, but what we have lived out together here. All right, in a moment, I am going to transition over to another subject and bring in my son-in-law, also known as the husband of our younger daughter, also known as the father of our two oldest grandkids. And we're going to talk about some subjects that are very dear to my son-in-law, Ryan. He's taught on them here at Fire School of Ministry, on the life of David, what it means to have a heart after God, revelation about the father heart of God. But a question that I'm asking today, what topics would you like me to talk about? We're doing some strategizing about broadcasts to come in the coming months. What topics would you like me to address, talk about in the coming months? Now, I mentioned a few weeks ago I had a neat report to give you, and going to give that to you now. You remember the spirited and respectful debates that I had with Dr. James White on Calvinism some months back at the beginning of this year? I think we got more hits on our website in terms of people logging in to discuss Calvinism, Arminianism than any other subject that we've done. And the debates were done respectfully, although we passionately differed on some of these things. We did it as brothers in the Lord. Well, I was asked to be on a Jewish Voice broadcast. I've been on many times, dear friends of mine, with an international TV ministry led by John Burness. And I was asked to come on and debate two Unitarians, one of whom I've already debated on the Line of Fire broadcast here. Would I have a debate with these two Unitarians about God's triune nature? I believe in his complex unity, his triunity, and the deity of the Son. They do not. And they needed someone else to join me, so it would be two against two. Who could I recommend? I said, well, how about Dr. James White? He's located right there in the Phoenix area where Jewish Voice Network TV show is. And he's written on this, and he's debated these issues with some of these very people. And they said, wonderful. And Dr. White said, absolutely, he would love to do it. So James White and I will be teaming up together. It'll be recorded sometime next month, and then we'll let you know when it's going to air. All right, we come back. We'll talk about some of the subjects you want us to talk about in the coming months. And then Ryan Bruss and I will talk about having a heart for God. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Glad to be back from Lima, Peru. Left Lima, I don't know, around midnight last night and flew 6-something hours into Houston, slept a few hours there, then switched planes a couple hours into Charlotte, slept a little there, got home, slept a little there, and back with you live. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What topics would you like us to address here on the Line of Fire in coming weeks, coming months? Rob from Jacksonville called in to want us to talk about Bible versions. We've done that. Maybe we'll devote a whole show to talking about that. I've got a whole list to read to you from our Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook. But before I read some of that to you, I've got a special guest in the studio with me, one of the most special people in our lives, actually my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss, who has functioned in many ministry capacities over the years. Most recently, was an administrator of Fire School of Ministry here in Concord and taught classes, discipled, mentored students. And Ryan, one of your favorite classes was on the life of David.
Yes, I love it. And by the way, it's good to be here with my father-in-law on the radio show.
That's
this,
it.
This is great.
Hey, it's just the love is flowing. What is it that you love most about the life of David?
Well, interestingly, when you were talking about the call you gave in Peru, sums up one of the greatest aspects of David's life. He never really lost that childlike wonder with God. You could, in my opinion, at any point of David's life, say, tell me about God. Just tell me about God. And he would begin to describe his beauty, his deliverance, how wonderful he was, the gaze and what God looked like, what God felt like. And just David never lost that.
So Psalm 23 was written in a moment of time, but you don't think it was just a moment of David's experience?
No, he lived that. He lived that. In fact, Psalm 18, one of my favorite psalms, you know, you delivered me because you delighted in me.
Wait, say that again. It's an awesome verse.
You delivered me. I mean, just the heart cry going out to the Father. You delivered me because you really, really like me.
All right. You've got two kids. Those are two of our four grandkids. We delight in our grandkids. School, Christian school was going to start last week. And your son, Andrew, so you're younger of the two, is going to turn 7 in October. He was staying at our house because you're just moving back in this area. He was real excited about going to Christian school. He couldn't fall asleep.
Right.
And he was sleeping with his socks on because he wanted to be ready in the morning. Right. And we were just smiling and laughing and delighting in him. God doesn't look at us like that, though.
Oh, absolutely he does. And I mean, even while we sleep, you know, like Andrew, my son, with our socks on, can't wait for the next day. God looks at us. I think sometimes he wonders where we got so adult and so mature and, you know, where we got so formal, as you said earlier. And he looks at us, that's still my boy. That's my girl. And I love him. And that enjoyment that the father gets. I mean, he's the perfect father. Now, I, for one, as you know, grew up without a father. Basically, he got cancer when I was 7 and he died when I was 12. And so basically, I don't have very many memories of my father. And so I really had to search the scriptures to find who Father is. And once I got into it, studied the life of David, and he is the perfect father. He's not an abusive father. He's a protective father. He's a loving father. And he has so much grace and so much patience. And there are great earthly fathers out there. But he is the perfect father. He disciplines me the best that he can for my life. And I mean, what I mean by that is he knows best. Father really knows best. He knows how to discipline me. He knows how to take care of me. And he knows the things we enjoy. He knows the things that turn us off. He's just so into us. And one of my life goals is to really bring that message to people, is that you can really know the living Father.
Now, we've talked in our family, Nancy and I, and you and your wife, our daughter Meg, about David, because David had some real flaws, not just the one that we always talk about, where he commits adultery and then has the husband murdered. But there are some other things he did that seem pretty violent. I know that was part of the day and the culture and all this. And yet God says about him repeatedly that he's a man after my own heart. Explain how he was after God's heart, what that actually means, because he was far from a perfect man, and yet God really seemed to single him out.
And obviously he, quote unquote, never got away with anything. But what he learned to do is run to God in his weakness. You know, there's a real significant difference between rebellion and weakness. And Saul, he rebelled, and that's why God removed him. But David, in his sin, his heart became broken. His heart became tender and said, oh, Father, you know, read Psalm 51. You know, I need to be washed clean, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. In the way he poured out his heart to God, God loves that. Even in our weakness, even in our immaturity, our sin, and David did sin big more than once. But God loved him because David chose to run to him as only you can with a perfect father. Knew he was going to get disciplined, but knew at the same time, as I've done with my own son, you may not want to know this as the grandfather, but you know, my son has sinned once or twice. And so I remember, if we have time for a quick story, I remember my son did something he wasn't supposed to, and as the story goes, and I sat him down and he finally confessed. I said, Andrew, you lied. He goes, I know, I lied. And we talked it out, and we asked Jesus to forgive him. And then I said, now I have to spank you. And he looked at me like, okay, there's a part two.
You have spanked my grandson?
Well, you know, once or twice.
Okay.
And he looked at me like, I thought, okay, there is a part two. So, but here's the thing I want to get across, is I did spank him. He cried for a few minutes, but then we hugged. I mean, he put his arms around, after I'm the one who spanked him, he wrapped his arms around me, and we just, oh, it was such a father-son moment, even though that he just got disciplined. And I am not kidding, within 20 seconds, we were playing together, laughing as if it never happened. And that's how God treats us. He doesn't, he's not up there, you know, letting us get away with things, and he has tremendous grace and tremendous patience for us. But he just knows how to get into our heart and say, we need to take care of some business.
Mm.
And David knew that secret. God, do your work in me.
All right, Ryan, we're going to come back to this in a moment, and we'll talk about finding God as Father, because a lot of people, you know, struggle with this. You've taught, ministered to many young people, old people. So we'll come back to this. Let me just grab a call. We're also asking the question over the course of the show today, just some topics, some things you'd love for us to discuss on the broadcast in coming weeks and months. Let me grab one call. Aaron in Charlotte, what would you like us to talk about here on the Line of Fire?
Hey, Michael. First off, I want to thank you for what you do. I drive a truck all day long, and I'm in and out of service area where I can pick you up, but I do get your podcast.
Oh, well, great.
I want to say thank you for that. Something that I have a question about, I think a lot of people question, is I'd like to know a lot more about the rapture and the tribulation period.
Got it, yeah.
That are somewhat confusing to a lot of people, I believe.
Got it. Yeah, we've touched on those sometimes, but I've definitely got to do a few more shows in detail about the end times. And I'm glad we can keep you company in the truck. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You.
All right, so we're going to come back and talk about finding God as Father. And then I got a bunch of interesting ideas people would like us to talk about here on the Line of Fire. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown back from Lima, Peru. Got in just a few hours ago. I flew through the night. And delighted to be with you. Wouldn't miss being with you live here. 866-34-TRUTH. Been asking the question as to what shows you'd like us to address, what topics you'd like us to address in future shows. Maybe some guests you'd like me to have on, subjects you'd like me to debate. You can contact me in real time at the Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook. And after I read a bunch of suggestions here, just so you can hear what folks are talking about, would like me to talk about, I'm going to get back to an important discussion with my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss, who's in the studio with me, as we talk about God's Father Heart. Okay, let me look at this. These responses on the Ask Dr. Brown page. Aaron, how about the importance of fellowship and leadership and what it means in God's church? By the way, Aaron, make sure you listen to my interview with Scott Volk from last week about servant leadership. That also ties in with Deborah, your question, what about authority, our role and responsibilities in honoring authority? James, I miss great fellowship. Church is not enough. I think TV and the internet have taken the place of good fellowship. Yvette, open theism. A very important subject, but I'll have to explain what that's about when we get into that one day. Let's see. The Mark of the Beast, what do you know about this? The anointing, what it is not, what is it, how do you get it, can you increase it? Love to hear a series of shows on Giants of the Faith. Love to hear a show on Fivefold Ministry. A few other suggestions from Eric. Michael, Leonard Ravenhill, his impact on your life. Let's see, Michelle. Oh, Michelle, want to know what time Ryan is going to be on. It's happening, Rye. It's happening. Joseph, Old Testament versus New Testament prophetic ministry. Another great point. Let's see. Steve, I have a video of yours from Brownsville where you preached on whatever happened to the wrath of God at the conference. I'd like to hear you discuss the oft-neglected truth of the wrath of God. Kyle, eternal security. Can God still talk through animals to share the gospel? Demonization, inerrancy required for salvation. Okay, I guess you mean demonization, question mark. Can Christians be demonized, or what is demonization? And then inerrancy, is that required for salvation? Otherwise, the question as posted, it looks as if you were asking, is demonization required for salvation? A bunch of great ideas here. We will definitely be taking some of these up. How about unity in the body of Yeshua? A lot of important things to talk about. But with my son-in-law, Ryan, we're hitting on one of the most essential and foundational. And Ryan, you were sharing earlier, your dad got cancer when you were 7. And then he was very sick until he went to be with the Lord when you were 12. So really effectively, for the good part of your childhood upbringing, you didn't have a father figure there. And you had to, as you said, find God the Father on your own. Do you think a lot of Christians, talking about born-again people, saved people in the churches, don't really know God as Father?
I do believe that. And, you know, one of the greatest desires of any human being, if not the, is to be loved. And when a 12-year-old loses their father, it's not normal. And it leaves a huge gap. And that could go for people whose parents have been divorced or any sort of things, abusive father. And our desire in us is to be loved. And that's why many people, apart from God, of course, they turn to drugs and alcohol and, you know, things that just perversion. But then there's so many Christians that have this strange view of God being some kind of, with all due respect, ogre in outer space with just some grandfather, long beard, and he only talks to me when he is disciplining me. And that's not the view that the Bible portrays at all, and that's why we're talking about the life of David. He doesn't have that view of God at all. And
if anybody could have, it's David, because he messed up a decent amount of times, and yet his name occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible. So after Jesus, he's mentioned more than anyone.
And I believe that's for a reason. And not that he's, obviously, we talked about already, that he's perfect. It's just that he's an example of somebody who struggles and falls and gets back up and delights in God and struggles and falls and gets back up and the grace is there.
And he gets back up because of his relationship with God.
Yeah, because he understood that Father's going to uphold me. He's going to be there to love me through. And and he'll know the perfect way to discipline me. You know, we never meant to. It was never meant for us to leave the Garden of Eden, and because of that, our hearts continue to long to be in that perfect place of fellowship with God. And we try this and we try that. We try this church service. We try reading this book. And when it all boils down to it, the simplicity of it all is you can know the Father, you can know God just as David did, just as anybody that we read, Paul, and anyone that we read in the Word of God. And it's our choice. It's our choice to know him. And the Bible does say that his ways are unsearchable. And I love to talk to people about that. His ways are unsearchable because you can never exhaust them. You can never exhaust his love. As much love that you feel from God right now, there's millions of miles to go in his love. His joy, in his presence, is fullness of joy. As much joy that we have right now, there's so much more. His ways are unsearchable. They're past finding out because it's not, you can't ever exhaust the supply of God. And because of that, that means whatever amount, if you could say that, of God that I have now, I know my heart longs to know it in deeper and greater ways.
And that's part of David having a heart after God, is to explore who he is.
Absolutely. In Psalm 27, you know, he was king when he was writing that, I believe. And so he's saying the one thing that matters most to me is to enjoy the beauty of God. I mean, can you imagine? This man has everything, but I just want to enjoy God's beauty forever.
In Psalm 63, when he's in the wilderness, what does he long for? To be with God.
Absolutely.
So that means forever we'll be discovering new things about God.
Oh, I mean,
it short circuits the brain.
I'm a firm believer in that, and I'm also a firm believer that we can have so much more, and this is obvious, than we have now, but we can tap into greater dimensions of God that we never even dreamed possible if we're only willing to get down there and do it.
How?
We shut our door. I was raised in a Christian home. You shut your door, and it sounds a little extreme, you know, but you shut your door and you don't come out till you find God. And what I mean by that is you just spend time with God. God, speak to me, talk to me. And it's like, I don't hear anything. And you just spend a little more time. You search the scriptures, and there will be a point, and everybody that's listening, there will be a point where you'll cross that bridge, and all of a sudden things will begin to unfold for you. The love of the Father, the beauty of God, and then God will begin to pour into you like never before. But there, the price to pay is just to simply go pray.
So when you say go pray, sometimes it's hours in the room with the door shut. You clear the schedule, and you do it. Sometimes it's every day. God, I've got to find you. God, I've got to know you. When we come back, I want to talk about this concept that God's main role in people's lives is to be watching over them to see if they mess up. I don't know that Christians would overtly say that, but a lot of them have that feeling. And if something really wonderful opens up in front of them, they're afraid because it doesn't seem God would ever want to do something good for them. So when we come back, we will address that mental stronghold. I'm looking at the list of suggested topics here that folks would like me to address on the Line of Fire in coming weeks. We've asked that question on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. If you're not logged on there, make sure you become a member, a fan. It's called a fan, but you have a friend page, and when you're over 5,000, it's a fan page. So become a fan. Become a fan of Ask Dr. Brown. But really, you can weigh in, real-time interaction there. And we're constantly through the day posting new articles, new links, so it's a great place to stay in touch with our ministry. I'll read a few more interesting suggestions that have come in for the broadcast, but I've been focusing with my dear son-in-law and fellow colleague in ministry, Ryan Bruss, about having a heart for God, David's heart for God, the Father heart of God. And Ryan, you made the comment earlier that there are people that, I'll put in my words, they view God as if he's always got this big stick kind of hanging. Oh, one wrong move. What? No. And I guess if I had a bottom line, it, I would say they always live with the feeling that they never live up to God's expectations. They're always disappointing. It must, maybe that's just their own self-image or what they have with an earthly father or a Christian leader. Certainly, God is so perfect in holiness that you could take our very best day, multiply it by a billion times, and we're still infinitely short. And yet you would really differ with this mentality of living under that heaviness of, I never measure up. So how do we get free from that wrong way of thinking?
Well, we live in a culture that makes us feel so bad about ourselves. We live in a culture that does the very thing that you were talking about, the self-image, that does she like me, does he like me? So we're constantly battling this thing around us. And it's not easy to look at a God who we cannot see and try to wonder, how does he really think about me? What, because the person that works next to me doesn't think, I don't think he thinks good things about me. You know, my son is this, my mother is that, my friends. And so when it gets to God, the most important person in our life is like, well, so what do you think about me, God? And David cried out in Psalm 40:17, I am poor and needy. God, I don't have much, but yet you think about me. You're thinking about me. And I love what he wrote in Psalm 139 about how he so knows us inside out, inside and out. And the bottom line is he is a glad God. As Zephaniah 3:17 talks about him rejoicing over us and loving us. And he's glad over my life. He loves my life. He enjoys me. He delights in me. Again, the Bible is full of these truths, but to apply them to ourselves, that block that's there, we have to be set free of that. We have to repent of wrong thinking. We have to say, God, I don't know any other way to be loved by you than to just take you for what your word says, that in your presence is fullness of joy. So I'm in your presence now, and I ask you, Lord, to just reveal yourself to me. I want to know your joy. I want to experience your love. And you know what? He comes. He comes and he visits us. But what we have to do is ask God to remove the blockages that hinder love. And that's one of the most passionate things that Jesus loves to do for us, is remove, whether it's sin, weakness, past hurts or wounds, is the Lord delights in removing those things that hinder that love relationship.
We enjoy as parents doing special things for our kids, and as a grandfather, the joy I get of seeing the grandkids happy, smiling. To this day, Nancy and I get joy seeing our daughters, one of them being your wife, happy through something that we can do. Does God really enjoy doing good things for us and seeing us smiling and blessed? Does he really enjoy that?
The amazing love that he's poured out, that he's bestowed in our hearts. I'm the same way. When I look at my son, I remember one time I went to a store and I bought him a good, $15. It wasn't like a Matchbox car, but it was $15. And to him, it might as well have been $150. And I just walked in there to get something out of the store. And I decided just to buy that for him because he was so good. And the response he gave me, God, Dad, you're amazing that you would give this to me. And I didn't even have to ask for it. Just on and on. It so blessed me that it brought me to tears. And so God loves to give to us. He watches us. He enjoys us. He chuckles at us. He giggles at us. He deals with our sin, but he has so much love. You know,
hang on.
Yeah.
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
We come back.
You
get
here.
to finish this. Zephaniah 3:17, he rejoices over us with singing. That's what the Bible says. We'll be back. Well, Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, glad to be back from Lima, Peru. Thanks for your calls and posts, as we've been asking for some ideas, things that you would like to hear about in days to come on the Line of Fire. There are always more topics I want to talk about than we can cover in a week, a month, a year, probably a lifetime. But I just want to get a little feedback, hear what some of you were thinking in terms of subjects you'd like us to tackle. So thanks for posting. Remember to visit AskDrBrown.org. Every week we have a special resource offer, some of the most important books or MP3s or CDs or videos that we have, DVDs, that'll be life-changing for you. And we put together a special package at a special discount, but it's only available online. AskDrBrown.org. Make sure you visit there and take advantage of the weekly special offers. I've had the joy of talking with my son-in-law, Ryan, about the Father Heart of God, about David's heart for God. And Ryan, right before the break, we were talking about, on the one hand, that God really enjoys doing good things for us, and that he's happy to see us happy. That when blessing comes in our lives, he smiles over that like we do over our kids. And Jesus teaches that explicitly in Matthew 7:7-11. But explain this to me. He doesn't giggle at our sin. He doesn't laugh at our sin. It was so serious that it cost his own son his blood, and that for some he has to say, depart from me, because they choose sin rather than him. So how can we have a balanced view of a God who hates sin and a God who truly enjoys his people?
Well, as Romans talks about, we abhor what is evil, like he does. We stay as far from it as possible. Because, and we cling to what is good. And so we do what God does. We resist the things that are wrong. And we, like Jesus did, we resist the evil. We resist the sin. And we run from it. And we cling to the things that are good. And what I was going to say right before the break is that he has such a glad and loving heart over us. You know, Father has to live out 1 Corinthians 13 as well. He is so full of love. He is patient. He is kind. And so because he is pure love, he loves us even though he can see us. And that's the thing. A lot of people say, if he really knew me, if she really knew what I was like. Well, God does.
Yes.
And yet he died for us, and he loves us in spite of it all.
That's something to think about. That he knows us better than we know ourselves. Like I said earlier, on our very best day, we fall infinitely short of his standard. And he loves us because he sees past certain things and sees who we really are. And when you said earlier, he disciplines us for our good. In other words, it's not just to let out anger or because he's like some sadistic master or stepfather that someone had, but because he knows that sin is destructive, and that his ways are best, and therefore he disciplines us for good. Hey, Ryan, we're out of time. Everybody should have the privilege of taking your Life of David class.
Thank you very much.
One day. And thanks for the many items listed, suggestions, things to talk about. We'll definitely be taking up some of them in the months to come. Always feel free to write us with your questions at AskDrBrown.org. Click on Contact Us. We answer some on the air. We answer others by email and by different posts and links. So we are here to help any way that we can. And if you believe in what we're doing, if you want to help hold our hands up to spread the fire to many more people, go to the website, AskDrBrown.org. Click Contact. Excuse me, click Support. That's what you want to click. Click Support. Stand with us. Find out how you can be part of our fire team and help us spread the fire to many more people. And we will be back with you tomorrow. Keep pressing into Jesus and really experience God as your Father today.